Hello and welcome to Hindsight. I'm Lorena Allam. To mark Australian Music Month, we take you back to the heat-drenched paddocks of Sunbury for the country's first rock music festival, 40 years ago, would you believe? But first, a portrait of Australia created through a very long lens. For many of us, when we think of the early writing about Australia, Watkin Tench and Matthew Flinders come to mind. But it wasn't just the British who wrote about the continent and colony. Australia made an impression on a succession of visitors from Russia over two centuries. The historian who uncovered this material, and whose passion for Australia was an escape from life in the Soviet Union, is in conversation with Jennifer Bowen.
Your country has the most favorable conditions for establishing a way of life free from the sins of the old world. A truly Christian, fraternal order. Leo Tolstoy. It was a frosty evening of January the 6th, 1896, when all of us went out of the house looking for a cab. Two of us were going to Australia, neither to Moscow nor to the Crimea, to Australia.
Sofia Vitkovska.
New Holland, again, New Holland. Tell me, reader, are you not tired of it?
On 666 ABC Canberra,
Australia has been a destination for Russians for over 200 years. Many wrote about their Australian experiences, and collecting their words has been the project of one woman. We met in Canberra, where her own story unfolded amongst those of the past.
My name is Yelena Govor. My full name in Russian, Yelena Viktorovna Govor, which means daughter of Victor. I grew up as a Russian girl with Russian culture. I was a teenager in the early 1970s, but very young, I felt reluctant to accept Soviet mass culture. We had constant propaganda praising our country, our military forces, our history, our Soviet people. I was 12, 13 when I discovered Australian literature, and I think I was formed by both cultures. I got very interested to know as much as possible about Australia in my school years. Then I studied at the Institute of Culture, and I decided to compile a bibliography of Russian writings about Australia. And I ended up with about 6,000 books and articles about Australia published in Russian.
At daybreak, on April 2nd, we sighted the coast of New Holland, bearing north 55 degrees west. I concluded that this land was Cape St. George, near Jervis Bay. The south wind began to fall in the afternoon, and at 8 p.m. we experienced calm. We saw a light on shore for a time, probably a fire led by the natives of New Holland, as in that part of the country there was no British settlement. Mikhail Lazarev, 1820.
Interest in the world beyond Russia was kind of a defining characteristic of the Russian educated elite since the 18th century.
John McNair is head of the Russian program at the University of Queensland.
Interest in anything foreign was part of life in Russia. I think it probably comes from a sort of underlying identity crisis. from the reign of Peter the Great and his determination to turn Russia from the east to the west. St. Petersburg is the sort of living memorial to this, and he called it his window on the west.
Восьмого часа прошли мимо залива Ботанического, так названного капитаном Куком в первое его путешествие.
At 7:30 a.m. we sailed past Botany Bay, as Captain Cook called it on his first voyage. At the entrance to Port Jackson, a pilot came alongside and we took him on board.
After Cook came to Australia, in Russian calendar for 1773, was publication of extracts from Cook's and Joseph Banks' accounts about Australia. So it was very early. There were Russian colonies in North America, and ship needed to get fresh supplies of water, food, so they called at Port Jackson, how it was known at that time.
This settlement is still in its initial state, though a surprising amount has been done already. In time, this country will produce an abundance of grain and everything else necessary for life.
Suddenly, the interest to Australia was boosted by visits, and the first Russian visit was in 1807. It was the Russian ship Neva, commanded by Leontsi Gagemeister. He predicted potential of trade between Russia and Australia. Russians were especially impressed in the following visits. In 1814, they were the first ship to bring to Australia news about victory over Napoleon. Russians were treated as heroes, and at that time the governor of the colony was Lachlan Macquarie, and he was very pleased to entertain Russians because he had some Russian experience. He traveled across Russia from the Caucasus Mountains to St. Petersburg on his way from British India to Britain. He had a lot of problems, suspected as a spy. When Russians came to Australia, he said the only Russian word that he remembered, подорожная, that was travel pass. He was asked to produce at every exchange station. But he was really impressed with St. Petersburg and Imperial Russia. And I think that somehow very much was important for him to keep on this tradition. And Russians who came to Australia were envoys of this great imperial power.
We anchored opposite the town of Sydney. The newly built fortress on Cape Bennelong lay three cables from us. This anchorage was all the more agreeable to us because all other foreign vessels had to anchor in the so-called neutral bay. April the 16th, 1820. Taking advantage of the hospitality and kindness of the governor, Mr. Zawadowski, Mr. Lazarev and I visited the town of Parramatta. The drive was beautiful. The houses are, for the most part, for one family, and each has a garden. We called on a brewer on the bank of the Parramatta River. I asked him to send us several barrels of beer and a quantity of cabbages.
Добрый вечер, товарищи.
Добрый вечер, дорогие товарищи.
I was growing up in Minsk, that is capital of modern Belarus. Some of my ancestors were from Volga River area. My father had Island of Culture. It was a huge bookshelf full of books, and my father said that just take whatever you want and read. And it was one of such very chance meetings that I took a collection of Australian short stories. I remember how I was reading this book, and absolutely new world was opening to me. I think as a child I felt insincerity. There was nobody to tell me about history, about Stalin, about Gulag. But I guessed, by the way, that it existed, but it came very slowly because my grandfather, who was became a writer, was arrested in 1937 and he was executed. My grandmother was sent to Gulag for 10 years as жена, член семьи изменника Родины, member of the family, of the betrayer of motherland. And my mother, who was 6 at that time, was sent to orphanage for 10 years. So when my grandmother finally returned from the camp, she met this girl of 16. My grandmother mentioned to me that she was in the camp, and sometimes it was just bits and pieces of her past. And she told me a lot about her pre-revolutionary childhood. So I grew up with this heritage, and it was very different from the surrounding Soviet-style life. So my soul was looking for a way out, and I found, instead of real understanding of my own Belarusian history, I found this in Australian history.
Любимые мои прогулки были леса новоголландские.
My favorite walks were through the New Holland woods, often early in the morning, having first visited the tent of Ivan Mikhailovich Simonov, our most learned astronomer. I would set out with my pocket compass and walk many miles through the heart of the bush. I would push on further and further, along a narrow, sometimes impassable track, over boulders, through bushes from which crawled hissing snakes. But the more the dangers, the greater the pleasure afforded to a young man by such walks. So many new trees, plants, flowers and birds caught the attention.
Павел Новосильский.
The most extensive time of visits was 1820s. The expeditions were of two types. Some of them were exploratory expeditions, and some of them were more commercial.
Who were the Russians who came on these ships? These are members of the Russian Navy, I suppose, the Imperial Navy.
The first Russian visitors to Australia were members of Russian Navy. The officers were usually very well educated, upper class Russian society. There was big competition of those who will participate in the expedition. Some of them even could speak English. I say even because English was not the most popular language in Russia. It was French and German that everyone in the upper class knew.
Their age? What sort of age?
They were quite young, in their 20s. The captains may be in their early 30s, so they were just young bunch of brilliant officers who enjoyed balls and entertainments that Sydney could offer.
Признаюсь, что мы никак не ожидали найти такое общество в таком отдалении от Европы.
Etiquette here is to the highest standard.
Однако я нашел секрет, как и здесь.
Dancing was very important in Russia. It was part of gentleman education, so they fitted Australian standards very well.
I found the secret of how to communicate with the lady. I told her the surnames of all our captains who had visited Australia, whom they remember very well. They told me themselves that they kept records in their memorandum books of Russians' visits. Evgeny Berens, 1829.
What is interesting, when Russians visited Britain at that time and wrote their travel accounts, they often were quite critical, but when they came to Australia, they just praised the achievements of the young colony in one voice. If you look at Australian accounts of this time, they were quite critical. So it wasn't really paradise here. But probably the contrast between Russia and Australia, what they admired, that every family had a house of their own, and each house was decorated by flowers in front of it. There were no high fences like in Russian provincial towns. So it was all clean, a lot of individual approach. I think through this you can untangle very interesting perception of Russians, their struggle in their mind between individualism and collectivism. And that was the problem of Russian society throughout the 19th and 20th century. They all admired climate. They spoke about climate, that it is like a kingdom of eternal spring. But on the other hand, there was European nation building not just a colony, but a new society, which Russians admired as part of the West. And if we speak about modern perceptions of Australia by Russians, in fact, it is the same. It is amazing combination of exotic and Western.
Город выстроен не по общему плану.
Sydney is not built on any general plan. There are some public and private buildings which would not discredit any city in Europe.
Я сохранил по нескольку каждого растения, которые сообщают для любителей.
The shores of the bay are covered with all sorts of different flowers and trees. I kept some of each species.
Banksia,
Hakea, Casuarina, Grevillea, Boronia, Melaleuca, Eucalyptus.
I wonder when you had the idea of Australia as being a special place, was the exoticism of it part of that thinking?
Yes, it exactly was like that with me. I discovered Australia, how I call it, in 1971, and my acquaintance started with a book written in 1955. So it was quite old image of Australia, but I really didn't care. I think Australia became something kind of sacred object for me. For example, I would carry the book about Australia in my case to school every day just to have this book. I made a pendant out of piece of metal sheet in the shape of Australia and engraved on it, "I will come." And then I made myself a calico bag decorated with map of Australia. I cut out pieces for each state of different color and put them all together with Australian flag and embroidered Australia. When I walked in Minsk with this calico bag, it was a challenge. It was a bit dangerous. It was at that time you really couldn't expose Union Jack. And in Soviet society, we usually started history from the beginning of Soviet power. Everything that was before 1917 was backward, harsh, it was Tsarist repressions, and real history, real world started after the Great October Socialist Revolution. I started compiling my bibliography when I was a student. So I had to look through Russian magazines of the 19th century, Russian books, and I was amazed how rich, how broad Russian culture was in the 19th century. Looking for Australia, I really discovered Russian history, genuine Russian history. And there were so many accounts about Australia of Russian visitors in the 19th century that I discovered myself.
Алексей Российский,
Михаил Лазарев,
Константин Бальбов,
Карл Тимрот,
Александр Ящин,
Фадей Беллинсгаузен,
София Витковская,
Эдуард Тимирот,
Василий Завод.
the whole impetus, I suppose, to the serious study, or the systematic, I should say, study of Australian-Russian contacts of whatever kind, came comparatively late. It was the appearance in 1985 of Yelena Gorva's extraordinarily detailed bibliography of Russian-Australian links that really came as a surprise of even people in the field that there should be so much material there. Uniformly, Russian mariners write about how warmly and kindly they were received. Of course, in the middle of the 19th century, the Crimean War changed things briefly. Australia, the Australian colonies, were British colonies and were on the same side, as it were, as the mother country, and that was the side opposed to Russia. As far as Australia is concerned, there was the underlying panic that the Russians would, as part of their assault on England, launch an attack on Australia. Perhaps not a terribly rational fear, but there was a deal of unrest in the colonies, unease about this matter, and that led to the construction of maritime fortifications in Sydney Harbour. The whole thing is known as the Russian Scare, which from time to time thereafter raised its ugly head.
Emissaries from Russia might even now be here.
Noting the defenseless state of our harbour.
To subdue
it is Russian intrigue in Paris.
The aggression of the strong upon the weak.
This is Russian
insolence. Did you ever hear such
Russian insolence?
There were a lot of fears that Russian Navy will come to Australia, will take Australian gold from the banks, will bombard Australian shore. But Australians, I would say, I think they were already Australians who wouldn't be so easily handled by propaganda, by official attitudes. To these fears, they responded with a lot of humor. Sydney Morning Herald, for instance, published letters to the editor suggesting how they should protect from Russian bombardments.
The governor should make everyone provide a feather bed or mattress and have them hung upon high poles all around the coast.
The editor of the Goulburn Herald is already at the acme of despair,
expecting every mail coach from Sydney to be guarded by grim Cossacks,
furnishing the afflicting intelligence that the Russian fleet is at anchor in Port Jackson.
There was a hoax about Russian ship that was going to bombard Australia with Captain Kaskovisky, cask of whiskey.
Yelena Gorva's fascination with Australia was a private matter, until she met the man who became her husband. He had been born before the Second World War and died in 2009, but like her, an interest in Australia began with a book.
My husband's name is Vladimir Kabo. He was born in Moscow. He was much older than me. And when I was about to marry him, all my friends were shocked and said that I will split up in a week, in a month, in a year. And amazingly, but we lived 26 years and it was a very happy life. My husband was anthropologist. He had very unusual life story. He participated in the Second World War. After that, he returned to his parents in Moscow and studied at the university. He wanted to be a historian. When he was in his last year, he was denounced. There was very anti-Semitic policy of the state, and my husband defended his teacher when he was purged from the university. And after that, he was sentenced for 10 years of hard labor in the camps. His father was very insistent that he shouldn't give up, and parents sent him books, including Australian anthropologist Elkin, Elkin was translated into Russian, Australian Aborigines, his famous book. My husband was very interested in early history of mankind. He decided that if he ever will become free, he will dedicate himself to the study of origins of human spiritual development. After he finished his term, he was released earlier because Stalin died. He finished university and he decided to become a specialized as anthropologist. And he started to work with stone tools of Australian Aborigines that are stored in the Museum of Anthropology and Ethnography in St. Petersburg.
The artifacts Vladimir Kabor worked with were collected in 1903 following a succession of Russian observations of Australia's indigenous population.
Пища прибрежных дикарей состоит преимущественно из рыбы.
For the most part, the New Hollanders live near woods. The diet of the coastal natives is chiefly fish. They pass the better part of the day in their little craft, fishing. Having caught a fish, they immediately throw it onto burning coals, which are kept in the boat itself. Those natives who inhabit the woods nourish themselves on fern roots, ants' eggs, and certain insects. Павел Новосильский.
Russian visitors to Australia were very interested to see the indigenous population of Australia, Australian Aborigines. There are some very fine drawings by Russian artist Pavel Mikhailov. Russians had opportunity to see Aboriginal people very close, as they usually had their camp on the northern shore of Port Jackson, which is now known as Kirribilli Point. At that time it was known as Russian Point. That was the territory of Aboriginal tribe, Kamiralgail, who would come to the shore and invite Russians to their camp, and Russian artists would make portraits of Aboriginal people there.
Their language is not everywhere the same. The natives who live around Sydney understand each other, but those who occupy the territories by Newcastle or Port Stephens, or who come from the other bank of the Nepean River, cannot understand the Sydney natives at all. And each considers his own community to be the best. Фадей Беллинсгаузен, 1820.
On the one hand, immediate contact was quite favorable. When they saw Aborigines in their native surroundings, Russians were impressed how well they were adapted to this life, to this country. But when Russians had to write a general account of the Aborigines, they could be quite Eurocentric. The fact that people can live in different ways, they can structure their society and their social life in different way, was too difficult to comprehend. And that is very interesting to see how these two approaches are struggling in Russian accounts.
One thing I wondered about too is, to what extent or in what way were they observant of the relationships between indigenous people and the British settlers?
When they spoke about Aboriginal society, they often were critical, not understanding, but still they were treating Aborigines quite humanely. And when they saw relations between British and Australian Aborigines, that gave them ground for criticism, and sometimes that was the only point of criticism of Russians when they spoke about Australian colonies.
Со времени завоевания Мексики и Перу не было еще событий.
Since the conquering of Mexico and Peru, there has been no event more monstrous than the extermination of the natives of Van Diemen's Land. In order to excuse themselves from any pangs of conscience, English colonists began to preach that the savages were not people, and that one could treat them as brutes.
Журнал «Сын Отечества».
Russian magazines writing about situation in Australia were always critical about treatment of Aborigines.
Do you have an explanation for that?
I think it could be in a way reflection of the real situation because they quoted a lot of facts, but it also could be reflection of some negative attitude to the British. There were often tensions between the countries, and British were perceived as colonizers. And also, very important, the situation of indigenous people in the Russian Empire. In fact, Russia had very similar situation to Australia. The Russian state occupied very vast territories of Siberia, Far East, Caucasus, and there were military conflicts, there was settlement, colonization. Maybe in many cases it wasn't so harsh as it was in Australia, but this comparison allowed Russians to speak about their own problems, to hint to their own problems in one case, or maybe to prove that Russians were better. In the other case, if we take liberal and reactionary Russian press.
Mills and factories are flourishing and their products. What can be learned from gold miners of Australia, Tasmania and New Zealand?
Events as they developed throughout the 19th century brought Australia more and more to prominence. Russia, of course, also had the practice of transporting its criminals to the ends of the earth.
Russian visitors who came to Australia in the late 1850s, early 1860s, were quite different from the earliest visitors. Russia was changing. Russian society had a lot of changes after the Crimean War and Russian defeat in the Crimean War. We have a new Tsar who wanted to implement reforms, social and technical. It is interesting that Russian visitors came to Australia to look for technology, for new technology.
In the 1890s and the early years of the 20th century, one does note a kind of boom in Russian writing about Australia.
Успех австралийского хозяйства зиждется не на благоприятных физических свойствах страны.
The success of the Australian economy is based not on the favorable physical conditions of the country, but on the organization of the human society. All successes in agriculture in Australia are due to the labor of its solid, educated and patriotic population.
Патриотического населения.
In the late 19th century, Russians explored Australia as social laboratory because Russians learned very soon that Australians have a lot of achievements in social reforms, like 8 hours working day, support for families of unemployed people, a lot of equality for people in participation in election. Many Russian scholars and writers use Australian experience as a possible model for Russia. Unfortunately, Russia didn't take this model, but there were a lot of publications.
One of the members of the Russian radical intelligentsia in 1913 was, in fact, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, and he wrote specifically about the fate of the Labour Party in Australia.
Те либералы в Европе и в России, которые...
Those liberals in Europe and in Russia who try to teach the people that class struggle is unnecessary by citing the example of Australia only deceive themselves and others. In Australia, the Labour Party is the representative of the non-socialist trade unions. Владимир Ильич Ленин.
Elena Gova and her husband, Vladimir Kabo, lived in Moscow from the early 1980s. Their expectation was to live out their lives there.
When we met, Vladimir, he was very honest, and he said that I have to tell you, I'm not allowed to travel overseas to capitalist country. I guess it was due because several factors, that he was political prisoner, that he was ethnically Jewish. He had special word in Russian, невыездной, no exiting person. When he became one of the main specialists in the Soviet Union in the field of Australian anthropology, he couldn't travel to Australia to see Australian Aborigines, and he had many invitations, but because of the situation, he was reduced to study Australia as astronomer would study a planet. Vladimir made himself work with the literature. He wanted to write a book about spiritual culture of early traditional human societies. He couldn't publish in Soviet Union because Marxism, Leninism was very strict that the basis of the society was material values. Vladimir was quite heretical in the sense that he put his spirituality, argued that spirituality was equally important along with toil and material life of the traditional society. He wasn't a political rebel in the sense that he wanted completely to eradicate Marxism. He saw a lot of rational ideas in it, but the way it was imposed in the Soviet Union was, in a way, it was destructive. People created this double think. Quite aware that we are playing in this make-believe game, especially in my time, in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s. So I have never seen a communist who would believe in the ideas of communism until I came to Australia and spoke with socialists here.
Товарищи депутаты, на обсуждение
We
came to Australia in August 1990. Vladimir received grant from the Institute of Aboriginal Studies in Australia, and we received visas. We managed to buy tickets. And we boarded the plane. I was nearly stopped at the last moment, but finally I was allowed to board the plane. And only after that I felt that we are going there, that we are on the way.
Ellie Gova has undertaken a number of studies since settling in Australia. The Russian Scare of the 1850s, a proposed Russian colony in the Northern Territory. The Ilin family, the marriage between an indigenous woman and a Russian man in 1915. Russian Anzacs, Russians in the South Pacific.
I think what unites the variety of my projects, it is my interest to cross cultural contact. And it is always interesting for me to see what happens with people of different ethnic background when they come in contact with another nation.
although Russia is an ancient country, nevertheless, modern Russia is really something of a contemporary of Australia as a society, as a nation, and one can see surprising parallels that are, I think, still have a lesson for us all.
Reading Russian accounts about Australia, we can see what was in their mind that was formed by their Russian experience. And we can learn a lot about Russia. And maybe Australians reading Russian accounts can see also some new dimension of their society, something that they were proud of is not really noticed by Russians. But another thing is greatly admired.
Окруженный лесом, я часто в тишине ночной до утра следил за светилами южного неба.
Surrounded by the woods, I would frequently sit up till morning in the tranquility of the night. The brilliant constellation of the Southern Cross brightly flared up before me. The silver sickle of the moon was already rolling down the dark blue vault. Banksia were casting lengthy shadows on their green surrounds. A soft, cool breeze fingered their leaves.
You've been listening to From Russia with Love, produced by Jennifer Bowen. The sound engineer was Richard Gervin. The readings in English were by Alex Menglet, and in Russian by Raphael Carbor. Special thanks to Dr. Elena Gorva from the ANU and Dr. John McNair from the University of Queensland, and James Lee and Michael Munson for archive assistance. Head to the Hindsight webpage for a selection of early drawings of Australia by those Russian artists. Coming up, beer, bear chests and boogie in the paddocks of Sunbury. Australia's own version of Woodstock took place outside Melbourne 40 years ago this year. ¶¶